What's up, people? Welcome to the Shot of Prosperity podcast, where you laugh, cry, and be inspired all at the same time. My only goal is to give you a shot of espresso, a little boost, a little motivation to be the best version of yourself. And remember, the motivation is just a start. You still got to put in the work. Let's go, people.
Holy shit, we are back. All right, first off, all right, big shout out to our up and coming guest because she randomly screenshotted the last time I did a podcast and she was talking shit. I thought you wanted to be consistent. So this is my ultimate accountability partner, a person that not afraid to call me out for the things that I said I wanted to do because she understand my passions to be great. All right, so this title of this Shot of Prosperity podcast is The Harmony and the Hustle, Balancing Family, Wellness, and Business. All right, this is one of my favorite people on planet Earth, my sister. I'm her favorite black person on Earth, her brother. All right, so welcome, Courtney Easter. All right, it's just us and I'm being childish for no
dramatic
reason.
Dramatic as always.
I know. All right. So welcome. All right. Today is going to be awesome. And I can't wait to talk about how much anxiety you have had through the start. All right. All right. So, all right. For people who know Courtney, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. She getting anxious as shit. All right. Y'all look at her as a person that can persevere anything. So that's one thing I admire about her because her anxiety, her willingness to not feel like doing stuff don't matter because she's the type of stuff to get shit done anyway. All right, so this is how we're going to work this thing. We're going to start off with a small segment of this or that, all right? We got 1 minute, and we're going to get through as many of these as possible. So just tell me this and that. You can give a small explanation if you feel like it, but no pressure. All right, let me start this timer, and perfect. All right. If you only can do one thing for the rest of your life, would you like doing being a trainer or doing skincare?
Probably a trainer.
Why?
Because I can interfere with more people.
And you can talk more
the
shit.
The schedule sucks. The early morning sucks. But, like, I feel like you can connect with people. And, like, I was too lazy to go to school when I was younger.
So, gotcha.
Like, it's like you're a therapist without, like, the actual degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can get
skincare, but people want to lay down and take a nap.
Yeah, yeah.
Know? They're great in the beginning, but then after that, you know, they kind of tap out.
All right, so if you can only train one sex, would you train men or women?
Guys.
Why?
Because I can be mean to them.
I know.
Like, I feel like I can be, like, say things I'm not going to say right now, but, like, girls are just a little sensitive, and I feel like a lot of females are intimidated by me, which is, like, a weird feeling for me because I just want them to do better.
Yes,
that's
yes.
all I really want.
Oh, my God.
But guys, like, I feel like, besides my own husband, I can, like, yell at them and, like, tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's just they get a better workout.
Oh, my God. Personally. It's funny because I feel the exact opposite for the same reason.
Yeah.
So it must have been some, all right. Who is the hotter individual, Scott Eason or Bradley Cooper?
I mean, I have to pick my husband on that one.
Man, you
miss. But, like, I'm married to, like, a celebrity. So it's, like, it's best of both worlds. He still gets the fame. Somebody wanted to take his picture in the Chinese or the Thai food place the other day. He's like, I take pictures with, look of, like, celebrities all the time. Like, can I take your photo? So it's, like, still...
It's still like, dope. So you can kind of get both
yeah,
of them. All right.
Scotty's smile got so big.
Smart move. All right. Which one do you find harder, meditation or doing a 5K?
Oh, I hate running and probably meditation because, again, like, it goes back to my anxiety and my brain just races. And, like,
gotcha.
Scott is so good at meditating and, like, he's obviously practiced longer than I have, but my brain just doesn't chill out.
Gotcha.
And it's also mom brain, too, so I feel like there's 20 things going through my brain at all times.
Yeah. Which one is your favorite exercise between lunges or squats?
Personally, me, lunges, because there's, like, multiple lunges that gets, like,
gotcha.
Different areas of the butt.
Gotcha. But what about squats, like sumo squats, sissy squats?
I just see too many people that squat wrong.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So it's, like, if you're not efficiently doing something, what's the point of doing it?
Heard. All right. What's your favorite snack, chips or ice cream? And we can go Crest, like the healthy chips or the healthy ice cream.
If I had to go healthy, I would go ice cream. If I had to go unhealthy, I'd go chips. Because if I ate a whole gallon of unhealthy ice cream, I'd probably throw up. But I could definitely slow down, like slam a bag of, a whole bag of Doritos, like family size.
You speaking my language. Stop playing. All right. Which one is your favorite car type, a Bronco or a Kia?
My Bronco.
Loved your Kia.
I grew up in Michigan, like with like lifted trucks and like four-wheelers. Yeah. So like being in a big car, like it does give me anxiety when people look at my car all the time. And I know I'm like asking for attention.
Yeah.
I just love how high.
For people who don't
know,
she drives a pink Bronco, like highlighter pink, like
Panther. It's like a pearl.
Like the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it.
All right. All right. Who is your favorite trainer? Ray Gardner or Nils Ritzenbrink? Give it to your boy. Give it to your boy.
Okay, mentally Ray, physically Nils. Like Ray is always somebody that like you go to and like you're always gonna have like a good time, inspiration. Like you're always gonna smile no matter what. Nils, like I can go to him, like I could be pissed off too, and he ain't making me smile.
Yeah,
because like he's in a bad mood, so I'm in a bad
mood.
I know I'm going in for a good workout.
And you're gonna get a great workout.
Yeah, so it's like it just depends like what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like just like friends, everybody offers different things.
Man, that's some bullshit. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Nils, you great. I'm just letting you know, if you're hearing this podcast.
He's waiting for this podcast to drop.
Yeah, I know. Nils, you're one of my favorite trainers too. All right. All right. Mentoring like a brother to me. All right. I don't even know why I put this. I said Red Wings or Lightning. It's Red Wings. I don't even know. That was stupid. All right. Last question. Who gets a long-term girlfriend first? Coop or RG4?
Well, we already talked about this. I think Cooper is going to be, first off, he's a Virgo moon, which for those who don't know, I'm like an astrology freak. I love it. And Ray is a Virgo. So they're a little sensitive.
Yeah.
They want to keep their emotions kind of locked up, but they want to act like their shit's together all the time. That's going to be Coop. But Coop's also a Capricorn, so he's going to feel like he's going to have a mission. So I feel like he's going to be the long-term relationship boy. And I feel like RG is going to like kind of dip into those flavors and be like, ooh, this girl got a big booty.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be more of like, and Coop's just gonna be like, bro, RG, come on, like settle down. This is a good one. Oh, man, I got to keep trying.
Oh, shoot. Hey, I can't wait till they see this. I can't wait till they see this in the future. All right. I appreciate it. So that's going to end this and that. And we're going to get into the podcast episode. I'm super excited about this because when I first met you, I thought you was like a mute. Like, and one thing that I wish people can see, and I hope to bring this out in this podcast, is like you look like a pit bull, but you really a poodle inside.
Poodles like, can be mean.
Ish, but nobody's scared of a poodle initially.
Yeah.
Like, it's the reason, like, you know what I'm saying, a little dog. And the reason why I say that is because when I first met you, you didn't talk much. You didn't say much. I mean, you was there to get a workout, and you was training with somebody else. So, like, I used to speak, and I'm like, man, this chick got a resting bitch face. She is mean. And it wasn't until I really got to know you where I'm like, she might be nicer than me. Like, legit a nicer person. And, like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just always fascinated because a lot of people are intimidated by you without giving you a chance to actually hear, like, who you are. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think you can get the best version of Courtney just watching her social media-wise because you got so many different personalities.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? You can be wild, you can be educational, you can be sophisticated, you can be all of those things. And it depends on what people are engaging with.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I sit down with you and whenever we talk, whenever we kick it, it's like no energy needed. Like, mm-hmm. It's not mandatory you have this certain amount of energy. So, like, I get the most authentic version of you. Like, my wife used to always say her favorite part about me is when I took off the cape.
Yeah.
And like, and part of it is like, first I got offended because I'm like, I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. But what we do for a living is we own the stage and we have to provide energy. And to be in the atmosphere where I don't have to, you get the authentic version of me. And like, I actually don't like being 24/7.
It's exhausting.
When it's fucking exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
Fuck. So with being a mom, how do you balance the demand of parenting, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and then running the business at the same time?
So after I had Coop, I promised myself I was gonna go back to work like probably at 12 weeks, but I went back to work at 6 because I know this is for you too. I feel like I'm letting people down in life if I can't deliver to them.
Got you.
My husband, my friends, like, yes. I'm always the type of person, and like Scott hates me for this, is like I'm trying to make plans the weekend, or like I'm texting this person, because I want them to make sure that they still know I care about them.
Got you.
And like, it's exhausting for me, but like, it's just because I truly do care about people. Solid. And like, I know I have that like RBF phase intensely, but like, my first day at Fit Crew, I'm looking around like who I can be friends with. While you're looking at me like, who the hell is this bitch?
Yes.
You know, so it's like,
yeah. That's
my
so strange.
Inside of my book is a total different perspective of like what the cover is.
Gotcha.
And being a mom, it has made me not, I don't want to say not care about people as much, but I don't invest my energy where it doesn't need to be invested anymore. Hurt. Because I've like being pregnant, and this is like something that I put my hands down by, is like the people that were still important in my life still reached out to me while I was pregnant.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm not the crazy getting fucked up Courtney, but like I still like want to be with Courtney and be like spend time with her. So like, I got to like understand my true friendships a little bit more being pregnant. And I know Jillian probably felt the same way about this too, is just like your husband and your child is the most important thing. And like being a wife and being a good mom is super important. And so the outside world doesn't really become as important
gotcha.
To what it was to me before I had a kid.
Okay.
And another thing too is like, I personally am somebody that has to take care of themselves. Like if I don't feel good about myself, I will not be the person that I need to be for my husband, for my child. Like, and that's why like we have the au pair. Like I still work. I don't work full time like Scott does, but like I have to go work out in the morning.
Yes.
I have to eat healthy. Like, not because for my like, oh, look at Courtney. It's like, I physically do not feel good if I don't take care of myself.
Yes.
Because I know what it feels like not to feel good.
Yes. One thing that I'm always, I think this is a $1 trillion question, so I'd be curious to hear your perspective on it, is, and sometimes sometimes I feel like I'm the best qualified to say this. Sometimes I don't feel like it. So like, speaking to the mom who just finished with pregnancy, what do you feel like is the proper strategy for them to get back into that rhythm that they once had before, assuming that they worked out?
So I think working out when you're pregnant is one of the most important things that you can do. And there are studies that have been shown that when you work out, part of that goes to your baby.
Gotcha.
Like taking care of yourself.
Okay.
Women that... I didn't have a bad pregnancy, and I'm super blessed. And I didn't throw up. I wasn't emotional. Like, and I know a lot of women go through that, but I put the energy of me having such a good pregnancy because it took me so long to get pregnant, and I did have a miscarriage, and like, I just put all that positive energy into it. And so I felt like that's what my pregnancy returned back to me. And so for me, after I had Cooper, I'm a scheduled person. So it's like, I can't work out right now, which was the hardest 6 weeks of my life, like not working out because it's very mental. So what can I do? I can control the groceries I buy. I can control what's going into my house. I can control what's going into my mouth. I can control the steps that I walk with my child in the morning. Like, I can control that. So yeah, you're tired, but like, tired doesn't really matter when you have a kid. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
Even though Fit Crew, we'd have to wake up 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, it's reverse. Like, I wake up, I'm like, I probably woke up with him like 3 times last night, but this morning I woke up at 7, like, all right, I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Gotcha.
Because like, you have a kid now, so it's like a different type of tiredness. So it's like, I want to wake up, I want to be outside, I want to go take him for a walk. Walking is super important. Going outside and getting that like melatonin and like helping your serotonin levels is like super important. So like, do the stuff that you are still able to do.
Yes.
Like, don't be like, oh, I just had a baby, I'm like, I have to sit at home all day and like, I can't do anything besides put garbage in my mouth. No, that's your choice.
Yes.
You know what it feels like to feel good, so do those choices that are going to make you feel good. Yeah, I mean, have a burger every once in a while, go eat ice cream, go do those things. It's called like life, but like, nobody else is going to do that work for you and set an example to your child.
Gotcha.
I want Cooper to be like, my mom is a hard worker.
Gotcha.
My mom sets good examples for me. I want to eat this healthy because, like, my parents do that. My parents work out. Like, I want to go do yoga with my dad because,
yes,
like, what you do is, like, parents is kind of what your child follows.
Yes.
So it's, like, lead by example.
Yeah. That's, I think that's probably the thing that, I mean, that I probably ramped up. I think all of us work hard naturally, but the reason why you're working hard is different. I used to always do these things when my dad died. And you experience this too, but way later in life. It's like everything I was dedicating my dad. I'm gonna do it for my dad. So it's kind of cool to get that same energy back, but to do it for somebody that's coming up, not gone.
Yeah.
And I got this weird thing in my head that like this hard, like, you know what I'm saying? Because when I look at my life, when RG look at his life, I want him to feel like he capable of doing hard things. And for me, the only way to build confidence is to prove to yourself that you can do hard things. And the only way to prove that is to actually do shit.
Yeah.
Like when we started running together, I thought that was really important for me. And I really resonate with that because I don't want him to follow anything that I'm saying. I really want him to be able to look at all the things that I have done and be like, man, if my dad can do it, then it's a chance that I can do it too.
Yeah, well, also a big thing too is like how you were brought up. You know, like I'm from Michigan, you're from Michigan, but you're from Detroit. Like we had a different upbringing. So like, and look at you now. So it's like if RG can see like, okay, my dad has seen the worst and been in the worst, but he's able to make whatever he wants on this sheet of paper to anything beautiful. And like you did that. So like wherever RG ends up in life, like, go back to his root.
Yeah.
If my dad can do it, I can do it.
Yes.
You know, I can go to my dad for that advice. Yeah. I can go to him for, like, something when I'm having a hard day and turn on that. Like, you lost your dad at how old?
I was 19.
19.
Yeah, about to turn 20.
Before, you know, you're still a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
I was still a kid. Yeah, yeah.
I lost my dad when I was 25. So it's like, I feel like until you become a parent, you gain a different maturity when you become a parent. So, like, the things I would go to my dad now would be completely different on what I would go to him before I had a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, you never really got to go to your dad for those things.
I know.
Like, when Jillian was pregnant, like, you really needed to ask him a question about something.
Yeah. From a male perspective, too. I needed that.
It's different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I feel like...
Yeah. It's important. I'm going to ask you something. I don't think I ever asked you this, but I was always curious. And, it's so much more relevant than, like, I ever thought. But to have one of your really good friends go through this was, like, holy shit. Could you talk about, like, when you first lost the baby?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did that feel and what helped you get through it?
So, I feel like when something bad happens in life, if you dwell on it more, you go into a deeper hole.
Gotcha.
And it's harder to get out of that hole than it is. Once you're in there, I feel like you're in there.
Gotcha.
So I lost my dad in 2021. I had a miscarriage in 2022. And I lost my dog in 2023.
Gotcha.
Which is my baby.
Yes,
you know? So
yes,
like
yes.
Those three
things.
Because
you had your dog for how many years?
12.
12.
And I feel like when I lost my dad, like, I'm so thankful he was able to, like, walk me down the aisle. Like, my sister will never be able to experience that, which is hard. Like, you didn't have your dad at your wedding, and it's just something, like, it will always forever be heavy on you. You know, like, I got to have my dad at my wedding. That was the last time I saw him. So after I lost my dad, last time I saw him was at my wedding. So then when I had the miscarriage, to me, it's just, like, this is life's way of saying either, A, you're not ready to be a parent, because I mentally wasn't. Like, I'm still really dealing with stuff with my dad.
Gotcha.
And, like, I just wasn't in a good headspace that required to be a good mom.
Yes.
And a good wife.
Yes.
And this is also the world's way of saying this baby might have had more health issues or things brought up with it than you can mentally handle.
Gotcha.
So it's like a gift in reverse.
Gotcha.
But it almost, like, prepared me, too, of, like, okay, like, this was real for a second. And, like, I was only, like, 7-8 weeks when I miscarried. But still, like, it's still, like, I still got pregnant after trying for so long.
Yeah.
And then I feel like with losing Darcy, she went before Cooper got here, even though I wanted her to be here so much, because she knew what I mentally needed to go through to be a mom. So I feel like all these things that happen to you in life, like, it happens again for a reason. It really does. Yeah. And it's just like, how are you visually looking at that? If you're gonna be upset about something and dwell in it and feed off of that, you're gonna be in that negative hole. But if you see the positive part of it, like when my dad died, I remember the first thing that Scott said to me, like, I'm punching the wall, I'm so upset, like, so angry. And he just came up and he just was talking positive. He goes, he lived a great life. Like, look at all the cool shit he did. Like, you don't want to see your dad, like, in the hospital suffering or, like, those kind of things. Like, he's just instantly positive, 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 positive.
So,
and I'm just trying to flip my brain. No, negative, negative, negative. Gotcha. I'm 25, I lost my dad, all this stuff. But it's just, like, if I didn't have him in my life, I would have gone down that rabbit hole.
Yes.
So another main thing is, too, is having the support.
Gotcha.
I didn't have... Scott's one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. Like, gotcha. I can sit there and be like, talk shit about something or someone. He won't ever do that with me.
Yeah.
Like, he just won't.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'm just like, will you just agree with me?
Yeah, but he
won't. Like, he's just a... It's taken time, but, like, he's just a positive person. If you don't surround yourself with positive people, you're going to be a negative person. You're going to be in a negative group of people, and it's just not a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I always think about that because it's like... Because I'm typically that positive person.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm searching for that when I'm going deep down. Because it's like, when you are the positive person, when you have...
It's like your own pep talk you have to have with yourself.
Yeah, and people are like, you not okay when you say, like, you're not in the... I'm just not in a good mood right now.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, people are like, oh my God, are you depressed if you... Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost... For me, it's just hard because it's like... And for a living, that's kind of what we do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I think the awesome part about being a trainer is you can't dwell on shit. Because when that next person come in, it doesn't matter. You was just punching the wall 3 minutes ago about your dad. Then somebody comes in and you gotta be trainer Courtney, because that's what they paying for. That's what they need. And that's what you want to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, sometimes it's hard because when you dad for so many people, sometimes, like, at least me personally, I go and, like, request that because everybody think I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's so dope that, like, you know what I'm saying, you got somebody in your life, and I do too, that can recognize when you're not okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I have a bad day, the first thing Scott says to me, and I hate when he says this, but I know he means good intentions. Did you meditate today? No, I did not meditate today.
I hate meditation.
I did not go in the ice bath. Like, he knows, like, when I'm off my energy, he, like, He just, it's just what he says first thing. I'm like, dude, like, I cope with my energy and my, like, anxiety and, like, my bad days by lifting heavy weights. I don't know if it's the checklist thing of, like, I'm getting closer to being done. I don't know what it is, but, like, after my dad passed away the next day, I went to the gym and I had, like, the best workout I've ever had.
Gotcha.
Because I can put my, like, Kid Rock or Eminem shit on and get it done.
Yeah.
So, like, and I think that's another thing too that takes it back to parenting is, like, you have to have both of those personalities as, like, a husband and wife and a mother and a father, because when Cooper's having a bad day, I might dwell on it with him and just be like, you know, like, let's talk about it. Why do you feel like this? And it's okay to feel like this.
Yeah.
But Scott might be like, let's go outside, let's go do some yoga, and kind of just, like, turn things positive.
Yeah.
I think that's why there's a dad and a mom in, like, children's life, because we both offer different things.
Yeah.
And, like, what you offer for RG is completely different than what Jillian offers.
Yeah. I think that's one of them things that I think is the most important thing, to be honest with you. Because it's like, when you're looking at these different types, because Jillian, I'm the type that, like, we always say that, like, I don't know if I'm gonna get this right, but, like, I'm the sensitive one, she's the emotional one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I can feel people and I can feel things.
Yeah.
And I be needing to get that shit out. She don't need to get something out. Like,
and that's another thing too, being a parent in today's society. When we grew up, when I was being a baby or crying, I was so scared to cry in front of my dad.
Yeah.
And he would say something so mean to me, like, toughen up. Yeah. I should have been his boy. I really should have.
Oh, for sure.
He should have put me in sports, not my
brother. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just, like, it was such, you know, that feeling when you're trying to hold back a cry or trying to hold back those emotions. Like, that's just what we were used to growing up. And I don't know if your dad was the same with you, but, like, you want to be tough in front of them. You want to be, like, somebody that they can be, like, proud of.
Yeah.
But in today's society, we sit down with our children, and like, I know we're gonna do this with our kids, but I see my friends sit down with their kids. It's like, why do you feel like this? And like, yeah. let's talk about it. It's mm. okay to cry. It's okay yeah. to have a bad day. Mm. And like, I honestly think this society of kids is gonna be the new best generation because people are gonna talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
Which is healthy. It's healthy. So healthy.
It's, yeah, yeah.
But people, like, even when we have trained people, they'll come in and we know they're having a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
They'll walk in. Like, I know Mimi, she'll walk in. I'm like, what is this energy you got
yeah,
going
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can feel it. You Let's feel talk it. About it.
Yeah, yeah.
But she would have never talked about it unless I would have brought that up.
No.
Because no. that's not how we were used to
no.
things being raised. That's why yeah. everyone's in therapy nowadays.
Yeah.
And if you're not in therapy, you're meditating or you're doing something
yeah,
to fix it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I feel like in today's world, like, talking about something negative is a very uncomfortable feeling, and nobody likes to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. I think so for you, knowing you for a long time, when I first met you, or looking at pictures, like, you wasn't always this version of Courtney.
No.
So could you talk a little bit about the journey to transformation for you, going from... a dancer to like being a trainer and then really dialing in on some of the things that you really got to be dedicated to get these things. Because
yeah.
I think one of the things, knowing you for so long and seeing how people receive you, a lot of times it's like, it's almost like she just lucky. She was born like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, the fuck she wasn't.
If I want to eat Did you and see get those fat, pictures? I definitely can.
I look at old pictures and like the
Dorito Courtney.
Yeah, yeah. I said, what the fuck? Who was that?
A hot dog.
And like, yeah. And like, and I wouldn't even, and knowing you, I would never think you was out of shape. But looking at some of those pictures back in the day or videos of us.
Yeah.
You looked out of shape compared to what you are today. So could you talk a little bit about the journeys and also mention the myths? Because I think people think like you were just born to be like this. And there's they kind of disrespect the
dedication. There's a couple
the
people in the world that are born with it. Like, Tyler's one of them. Tyler can go to McDonald's 6 times a day trying to put weight on, and he still can.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some people that have really good metabolism.
Yes.
But my mom's whole side of the family is obese. My dad's side of the family all has heart disease or diabetes. And my brother was bigger when he was growing up. My sister's just one of those that's blessed. Like, she's just got big boobs, big butt, it's no waist. Like, and she eats like shit.
Yeah.
I kind of fall in the middle. Like, I used to dance my whole life, so I've always been active. But after school, I'd go home and eat a whole bag of pizza rolls and corn dogs. I'd go to dance practice for 3 hours. I'd go to the gas station, get some, like, candy. Like, I have a sweet tooth. I love food. Like, I'm a big foodie. That's why I like to cook. But, like, okay, how do I transform that, like, bad eating to good eating, but clean eating?
Yes.
And when I was, 19, I went to the doctors because all my friends were telling me to go get the HPV vaccine.
Yes.
And I went and got this vaccine. On my third dose, I had a reaction. Was like active, but wasn't like stupidly active. I would just do the shit that you would see like on social media.
Yes.
You know, I gotta walk, I gotta run, I gotta, I never did a shoulder workout a day in my life.
Okay.
You know, so I was just doing stupid stuff. I got this vaccine, was in cosmetology school, and all of a sudden, like, I just got really sick. And I was like up at Moffitt, I was hospitalized for in and out for a year. I had a PE in my lung, I had my splenectomy done.
Jeez.
I almost died. Like, it just was not a good situation, but that moment, I had a girl from South America. It was somebody my mom knew's, like, mom, came over to Moffitt and prayed over me, and I was released out of the hospital the next day. So I was like, okay, miracles happen. Like, things in life can happen if you put, like, your mindset towards it. So I got released the next day, and then after that, I was like, I was working at a dermatologist. I was dating a guy that I met online, and I was just like, I don't want to do this. I want to be a trainer. I want to help people get to a point in life that they feel like they can be unstoppable. And again, like, if I eat bad, I'm going to gain weight.
Gotcha.
I was not born in shape.
Yes.
Like, at all. My dad was really into working out, and that's how I got into working out. My mom will take 10 steps and be out of breath. She's got asthma, and, like, she just doesn't work out. She does yoga.
Okay.
And so, like, I would pay my mom money to come to one of your classes. Like, she'll be like my sister running out and hiding in the car.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
She really would. She's like, honey.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, I don't know, just I have to work out really, really hard to get where I want in life. But I also have the education. Like, so it's like, I don't have to hire a coach.
Gotcha.
I am my coach. Like, I count my macros. I have a gym in my garage that my husband like set up for me. For, like, I was like, this is what I want for Christmas. Cause I can't go to the gym every day with the baby. So yeah. Like when he's sleeping, I make my time worth it. And I go downstairs and I do my workout because I know that if I suffer through this, like 30 to 60 minutes, it's going to get me to feeling and looking how I want to be. And like, I don't want to say looks is a very important thing, but like, it kind of is to me because I was kind of raised like that. Like, gotcha. My mom would never leave the house without a full face of makeup.
Gotcha.
My dad was always like the hot shot. Like, gotcha. look at Todd. Like, it was just how I was raised. Yes. And I don't mean that in a bad way to like, yeah, I'm trying to be judgment towards other people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just how I was raised. So like, that's just my perspective on myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, again, I had that conversation with Erin and she was just like, I just always thought you were a big bitch. Like, you know, hot shot, blah, blah, blah.
You know how she came in for that first.
Yeah, she was scared shit of me. And I was just like, I just want to give you a hug.
Like, but like she came in, I don't know if you know, I think you might know. But like, remember she came in for a facial or something like that.
Yeah.
And like she hit you up.
But she was so nervous about
doing you know that wasn't her.
Yeah, you texted her off her phone for me.
Yeah, I set up the appointment because I knew if I push somebody to actually get to know you.
Yeah, now she sees me every 4 weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think that's another thing too. When I used to work at Fit Crew, like I would try to get people to come in for facials and then they would like see that other side of me and they'd be like, wait, you're actually nice. And I'm I feel awkward if I'm walking around smiling all the time.
Yeah. You
look awkward. I look weird.
Yeah, you do look weird. Like, don't do that. Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it
but
is,
like,
it
if
is.
You take the time to have a conversation with somebody, if they don't smile during that whole conversation, like, okay. But like, I'm not going to look at you like bite your head off. Like, I have a personality. And I think I'm very funny. I laugh at my own jokes all the time.
Yeah,
and having a kid now that I can be like my like goofy, dorky self with, like Scott will walk in the room and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, boy, go away. Like, I'm having my inner child moment with my child.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. And that's another thing, like, judging a book by its cover is, like, take the time to, like, get to know somebody that makes you feel like that. And I feel like it would be one of your greatest relationships.
Heart.
And, like, I feel like I used to be a very judgmental person. I used to be very, like, negative. But that was because of the people I was surrounding myself with.
Gotcha.
And then once I met Scott, I met like all you guys, like all of his best friends. And I was like, these are my people. Like I feel like I have an old soul. I feel like my friends, I have a couple friends that are my age. I'm 28, but like all my good friends are Scott's age,
for sure.
You know, 35 or higher. Yeah. Because I feel like you can actually have genuine good conversations with them. Mm-hmm. And it's just more of like what you're looking for in life than like the, hey, let's go get fucked up at 2 a.m. at the bars and like feel like shit the next day. Like,
No.
I want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, wake up, go work out and go get breakfast.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like going through like all those things in my life has brought me to where I am today. But being a trainer has really brought me out of my shell because my first day at Fit Crew, I remember Matt Bauer and I think I've told you this. He was like, you're never going to make it here. Like you're quiet. Like, and I was like, somebody challenged me. And when somebody challenges me and says I can't do something or she'll never do it, like that's my drive. So that's why I compete. Because it's like, she's never gonna go through this whole prep. She's, come on, Courtney, just have one drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Like, I'm gonna prove you wrong. And that's what I feed off of. Like, I just love the challenge. Like, that's why I like working out. It's like, oh, you can't lift that heavy weight. I'm like, okay, here we go. So it's like finding your drive in something. And that's what drives me. And everybody has a different drive, so.
You know the crazy part is like, it was somebody who said the exact same thing about me that Matt Bauer said about you. Do you know who that person is?
Mm-mm.
Scotty. Yeah.
Oh, that you'll never make it?
Not at Fit Crew. Yeah, that's what you said.
But that's what drove me to
be me
like.
Too. Me
and
too.
And I became the loud, obnoxious trainer that like people enjoyed coming to my class because I would call them out and shit. Or I'd make them like lift heavier. Like I would do the warm-ups that they hated doing. But like I love that because nobody wants to go to a class where people are just reading off the board and just like, okay. Good job, go.
Yeah.
Or they're like, not paying attention to you.
Yeah.
That's not where you're paying to go there.
Yeah.
So just like when you go to a therapist, you're not paying them to be like, oh, I'm sorry you feel like that.
Yeah.
Hope you have a better day tomorrow.
Yeah.
No. You're going to them so they can help you figure out your, like, physically or mentally what you can be better at and push you.
I think it was funny because, I mean, I wrote it down in my notes. I still got it in there, his quote. And I was so fucking mad. But, like, it never felt like he did it maliciously. Like, so, like, I was trying to figure out what the fuck it meant. Because I'm like, how dare you? And over time, I just realized that, and I think this about everybody outside of our profession.
Mm-hmm.
most people's definition of work is shit that they don't enjoy doing.
Yeah.
That long hours. I don't feel like going. I don't like to be. You see a trainer, especially a good one, like we all smiling. It's like we never had shit go on in a day of our life. We smiled a lot compared to our significant others.
It's more exhausting than being a therapist because we have to smile and perform.
And
we kind of have to look the part too.
People don't understand that.
Nobody's going to go to a trainer that's not in shape.
Yes. And people.
A therapist, you can look whatever the hell you want to look like. You can sit there and not smile one time.
Any other profession, you can. So it's like, not only do I got to be the therapist, I got to be your energy, I got to hold you accountable. And I gotta work out too. And people always drive me nuts because they like, you own a gym, it's easy for you. Well, when am I do it? Me a day? Oh, after I've been here since 4:30 in the morning, yeah. I just all of a sudden wanna work out from 12 to 1, right?
Yeah.
And then be back in the afternoon. It's not as hard as you think. And what I realized from that experience, because
especially if there's no one with you at the gym. Like if there's a fit crew and we had each other, like, all right, we'll be working out at 12.
Yes.
It was great. But
it was
like
great.
When you're here by yourself and you're close enough, like, I'm gonna go take a nap and go get somebody to eat.
It sucks.
Yeah.
And the one thing I realized over time is I said, oh, it wasn't Scott's fault. It was people don't understand what training is.
Yeah.
So like I was at a gym that had no weights. You come to fit crew and they had everything. So if I'm going from something that reminds people of like shapes or something like that to like a CrossFit looking type gym, of course, to the person that don't know any better, be like, yo, it's completely different. It's bulls in there used to dealing with what's right into moms. but we what people don't understand about coaching is it translates across the board. Like, mm-hmm. I think a fantastic coach can be great at anything because in order to be fantastic, you have to understand the energies of people,
the
psychology of people, and adaptive. And it wasn't about, I didn't know shit. I didn't go to school for this shit. I'm amongst two people that owns Fit Crew that got PhDs and shit.
Yeah.
In nutrition.
Yeah.
I'm sure they looked at a lot of shit that I was doing and was like, yo, somebody gonna get hurt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wait, what muscle group are you working at right
shit,
now?
Shit. What YouTube
the
video
wrong boys.
Did you see that? No, I just, you didn't see me a couple times. Ray, what's that? Shit,
Or I'll be coming in the next morning, you're doing the exact workout.
Yep.
I'm like, all right.
The amount of times I just stole shit off your board, like, oh shit, I ain't even know. That's cool. So yeah, so like that's the fascinating
part. My right side brain kicking in with the creativity. That's one thing I do miss is like being the creative side and like having the big gym. Like at AMI Fitness, like it was great, but like I didn't have my own cage. I couldn't like really think of a good workout because when I came in and the gym was packed, it's like crap, like I can't do this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I stepped away from training because I don't have the platform of what my skills are good for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with you, you have like expanding your space has probably made you.
Oh, it's completely
just
different.
Feel a better trainer because it's like you're not having anxiety of like, am I going to have enough room for everybody? Because no offense, you aren't really good at your cap.
No, I'm not. Like, no,
oh, there's 42 people. No big deal. We only got room for 22.
All right. It's hard.
That's another thing. You and I are very hard. Like, it's very hard for us to say no to people.
Yeah, yeah.
To our spouses.
Yeah,
to
our
close friends. To like,
it's hard.
It's very hard for me to say, I'll talk shit about it behind your back.
Yeah. Oh, as soon as you leave.
I want to fire this person so bad. Like, oh my God, they totally
don't ever
in.
Fucking sign in.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Mark? You good?
Yeah, like, and I feel like that's something you and I, like, our weaknesses is confrontation.
Well, like, and to be honest, I actually did a lot of kind of research in this because, like, because I was just trying to think, like, all right, I need to kind of, when I was half of this space, I really needed to, but it's really hard to get adults to be responsible, especially when they know you. So, like, the truth is, it's gonna be a certain amount of people that just look at you as a friend and they say, I pay monthly, so what?
Yeah.
And like, so like, I was playing with it. It's like,
well, it's just like, perfect example, you or Niels. People are gonna run towards you, towards it, before they run to Niels because you're more of like the rainbow.
Yeah, yeah, for
you're
sure.
You're the Skittles.
Yeah.
Where Niels is a little bit more of like beef jerky. He's tough, salty. Like, you don't really.
Yeah.
But like, you know it's good.
Yeah, yeah, you know it's good.
So it's like, when you are that type of person, you're gonna have all those kind of people run towards you. Not that the other option is bad, but it's just an easier target.
Yeah.
And like, you feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And you can't really put your foot down and be like, no, like, sorry, like, you were late today, you didn't sign up, you can't do class.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you should do.
Yeah, that's,
But you're not gonna do that. Where Niels would be like, I don't have room for you today. Like, you didn't text me to confirm, I can't see you. And people would be so respective on that too, because they're like, I'm going to text him next time. Like, I'm going to really make sure I'm on time. Yeah. With you, it's just like, Ray's not going to say no.
Yeah.
He's too nice.
No, it's true. And it's
for me, they're not even going to approach me because they're not going to bite their head off.
Yeah, they're not going to even come. yeah, they're not going to text you in the first place. And like, that's honestly been one of the things that I've been working on personally the most, is because the one thing is like, as different as me, you, and Niels are personality-wise, it's really a centric thing that we all have in common. So it's not like, and spending time with both of y'all, I'm like, honey, wait, Niels is actually way kinder than people think.
Yeah, you just and have like, to take the time to
get to know people.
Just like a book.
Yeah. And like I'm way more lenient. I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd be pissed as hell. So like, but I think the beautiful part about training is I don't have to be you. You don't have to be Niels. He don't have to be me. And we can create
We're
a culture where
somehow,
and we can know? Create a culture where it all work.
Yeah.
Because like I would go ahead and take that person. I'm like, and then like they will see me visually upset. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, yo, I don't have time. I don't have room and da da da. So like where Niels would be like, yo, you gotta, first off, they not calling you. They not even showing up for you. Secondly, Niels would be like, hey man, like you didn't call, you didn't confirm. Cause like he professional, he set boundaries like that.
Yeah.
Me, I haven't set boundaries like that. But what ended up happening was people would feel so bad that they like took advantage of me or didn't, mm-hmm. then they actually would next time.
Yeah.
Especially if I said, hey, I got you this time, but like it's really tough for me to, like, you know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's just having respect for yourself. And I think that's another thing that goes back to being a parent is boundaries.
Yeah.
Like you have to have boundaries.
Or it's over.
For everything.
Yeah.
And like, perfect example yesterday is like, Scott and I are very good about doing like self-care and stuff. And like we set boundaries of like, when Scott's done working, like I don't go and hurry up and be like, hey, how are you? Like I respect him. Like he needs some time to like cool off after work. And like then he'll approach me because he works from home.
Yeah.
So mentally that can be hard for me because he's home, but like he's also working.
Yeah.
So like yesterday I went in the sauna and like what everyone thinks is like, oh, you know, you're relaxing, you're in the sauna, chilling out, blah, blah, blah. But no, my brain is like, Cooper is upstairs crying.
Yeah.
And like, this is not a good headspace for me to be in right now because I'm not really taking care of myself because I have distractions going on in my brain. So it's like everything that goes back to what you do in life is having boundaries. And I feel like when you have boundaries, people respect you different. And like, that's something Niels is really good at, is having boundaries.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something you and I are like working on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also has two kids that are what?
Yeah.
14 and
yeah.
8.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
He has the parenting skills that got to go on with being a personal trainer.
Yes.
And like
parenting,
you and I
help
are,
you.
Are
it
still,
helps you.
Yeah,
parenting helps force you. I had no boundaries before, but parenting, because
it gives you boundaries.
You don't have no fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is what we talked about at the beginning. It's either this or that.
Yeah.
That's it.
And or before it's like, I'm going to pick my options.
Yeah.
I've got six things to pick
green,
from.
Green, green, green. Hello, hey, let's go to the club right now. All right, fuck, I'm on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Now
It's like, bro,
but also
I'm 3 weeks out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
So the one thing I want to make sure that we tap into, because I got two more things I want to make sure that we get. Now I want to forget it. Yeah. I fucking see it. I get this shit off my face. Is it gonna, I see this fucking white. I said, oh shit, am I turning white? I was thinking about this. All right, because it's something I just don't know. So like, when you're approaching a client, all right, what is the difference in eating and training for somebody that want to get stronger and gain weight, and somebody who want to get toned and lose weight? What would those two programs look like, eating wise and workout wise?
So somebody that wants to put on muscle, cardio can be your worst and best friend. It depends on if you're wanting to put really serious. You cannot put a good amount of mass on and be really lean. You gotta build. That's why, like, for competing, we go in our off season. And that off season isn't like eating whatever we want. Like, I wanna compete again. I'm in like an off season right now, even though I just had a baby a couple months ago.
Yeah,
it's like, mentally,
yeah.
That's where my brain's at. So it's like, how do I put on as much muscle as I possibly can without gaining a stupid amount of body fat. You're still gonna gain some. So then when I go to my cutting phase, I got this new muscle and I'm sculpting for a new look.
Okay.
So for instance, you wanna put all this muscle, you wanna get put on a lot of lean mass. Your goal is to eat as much food as you possibly can around your workouts and lift as heavy as you possibly can.
Okay.
So for you going to do a bent over row, you're not gonna go grab the 40s and do 15 reps. You're gonna grab probably 90% of your maximum effort and do 6 to 8 reps.
Okay.
And then take a little break, then maybe go your last round, you're gonna do like, so first round, 8 reps, second round, 8, third round, 8, but the last round, you're gonna go as heavy as you possibly can with as many reps as you can.
Gotcha.
And that's how you tear your muscles and build that soreness feeling called lactic acid, and like that's how you build muscle. But your muscle also can't build unless you're giving your body the calories. So like before I go do a workout, I eat like 4 rice cakes with honey on it, because honey is easy carbs, no fat. And then after my workout, I go do more carbs and then protein. So whether it's like an actual meal or a protein shake. And that's how you are able to build that foundation of like building muscle.
Okay.
For somebody that is wanting to like put some muscle on, but they're also wanting to like trim down, that's when you like engage with like your classes, HIIT classes.
Yeah.
Getting that heart rate up as high as you possibly can for a certain amount of time, and then getting that heart in that zone 4, zone 5, so okay. Then you're burning that fat. But then you have a couple days a week that you're doing like the heavy weight training. You have to do heavy weight training to put on muscle. You can't just do light weight and 15 reps and expect yourself to put muscle on.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you're not sore the next day.
Gotcha.
You're sore because your body is recognizing new things that you're doing to it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just, you have to pick and choose. You can't be this big, huge buff dude with a 12 pack.
Gotcha.
You have to like build that foundation of putting the muscle on first and then cutting. So you're eating properly, working out properly, so you're not losing that muscle mass, but you're also trimming down to get that like 12 pack, 8 pack that you're wanting to get.
Okay.
So it's a manipulation of food. And it's not like, it is what you eat, but it's also when you eat. When you eat is probably one of the most important things because of your like your insulin levels. So like you want your insulin to be kind of high when you're going to like a heavy like weight training workout. So then it starts breaking down in the middle of your workout to be broken down like your glucose. So like in the middle of a like heavy weight training session, you could like take a break and go eat 2 rice cakes, reload your system.
Gotcha.
So then it's like you're feeding your muscles to get through another heavy lift.
Okay.
So it's just manipulating things. And if you're wanting to like, I love fasted cardio. So like this morning I did your class fasted. So it's like gonna burn more calories because you don't have any food for your body to feed off of. So it's gonna attack the fat. But then you have to make sure you eat right after so it's not attacking your muscles. So it's a manipulation with everything.
Gotcha.
So it can get confusing to people.
So is it true that like, I understand like time wise, but like, is it true that you should never eat before bed or something?
No, that's not true. Again, it's like what you eat.
Okay.
So like,
because a lot of people say you don't supposed to eat before.
I eat
7 o'clock.
Like when I'm in prep, I'll probably eat like 4 or 5 rice cakes before I go to bed.
Okay.
But I'm not having any fat. So you have to have protein. Protein doesn't turn into fat in your body unless it has fat with it. So fat and carbohydrates are your energy sources.
Gotcha.
If you're having both of those, your body's going to break down one. Which one's easier to break down? Carbs.
Yeah.
So the other one's gonna be stay just hanging out. Well, if it's not burned properly, that's when it's turned to actual fat cells. So that's when you're eating like processed foods that have like a stupid amount of fat intake. Eat a piece of cake, has a stupid amount of fat intake because of like the oils and stuff in it,
gotcha.
The sugars, which is giving you the carbohydrates. Sugars equals carbs on like the nutritional panel. So like, if you're eating carbs and fat, one of them has to break down. I always say the other one's going to be stored as fat if you're not burning it off. So before bed, that's not something you want to do. But if you're just eating, I don't know, if you're going to have a rice cake or something, or protein, a protein shake, it's not going to harm you.
Gotcha.
But like calories in equals calories out. So like if you're eating 1,500 calories a day, for you to lose weight, you would have to burn more than 1,500 calories a day.
Gotcha.
So like that's why like, but you burn calories just sitting here.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We're just burning calories by talking. So
yeah.
Like your workout might say 500 calories, but like your walks, everything else, you're still burning calories.
Yes.
So you would just have to eat less to lose. So it's a manipulation with everything.
The last science question I really want to ask is like, is it what would probably be the biggest myth around nutrition? Because one of the things is people always think that like, soon as they like, man, I need to lose weight, I should stop eating.
Yeah, that kills your metabolism.
So could you talk about that process a little bit? Because that's what, the one thing I always tell people, I'm like, well, if eating less was true,
food,
then it
Yeah, food is fuel. If you're not fueling your body's gonna start reacting in other ways. So let's say, I'm not talking about fasting, because fasting is a whole different conversation. Let's say I'm just not gonna eat all day, but then like, oh, I'm starving, I'm gonna have like a handful of almonds or something. And then, you know, I'm gonna have a little snacks here and there. So your body is going to retain everything you're eating because your body thinks it's in starvation mode. Our bodies are smarter than we think.
Gotcha.
So then you're not properly losing that weight because A, you're killing your metabolism, and then your body's gonna retain everything that you're eating because it knows you're starving itself.
Yeah.
So like, why would it wanna try to shed that? So like when you go, perfect example, when I was in the hospital, I don't know if like when you're sick, you always feel really lean the next day. Like you feel skinnier. Well, your body's breaking down your muscle because muscle's easier to break down than fat. So it's feeding yourself.
Ah, gotcha.
So like when you're sick and you're in the hospital and somebody says you lost all your muscle from laying there, you did, because your body is feeding itself by breaking down your muscle mass to fuel it, because fat is like keeping you warm and protecting it. So it's like, it's gonna break down your muscle before fat. So that's why when you're trying to put muscle on, you have to eat a lot of calories.
Gotcha.
It's impossible to put on a lot of muscle without putting a stupid amount of like calories on.
Gotcha.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So mentally it's like, oh my God, I'm eating so much food, I'm gonna get fat. But like, okay, well that's why you need to work out. Like go eat a large amount of calories, but go do 800, like your workout this morning, go burn 800 calories. So it's like you're manipulating the system.
Gotcha.
And I feel like that's where people are like, I'm not gonna eat, so I'm just gonna get skinny. Yeah, the scale's gonna change, but let's go do your DEXA and see how much muscle mass you lost.
Gotcha.
It's gonna show that you lost a stupid amount of muscle.
Yes, yes.
Where if you do intermittent fasting, you're manipulating the system into like shocking it to actually get rid of those fat cells, but then you're feeding it when it's supposed to be feeding. It's just like a baby's schedule. Like, so a baby sleeps and they wake up to go eat, to reset its system, to be able to like go back to sleep. During the sleeping part is when your body is like regenerating. It's when, that's why recovery is so important. Like you have to take, if you're an active person that works out every day, you have to take one rest day a week. If you work out every single day, your body's never gonna be able to catch up.
Gotcha.
Ever.
Yeah.
And that's how you build, is during your like your sleeping, your recovery time. So like if your recovery day might look like stretching or doing yoga or a walk or sauna or whatever it is, like you have to do those things in order to build. Just like you have to study to get a good grade on a test.
Yeah.
You have to do like the behind the scenes work.
Yeah.
Like just diet. Water. I'm a huge fan of supplements. Like I take probably like 40 supplements a day.
Yeah.
Because they all have their purpose, because my body needs certain things that I can't get through food, because either I don't like eating those things or trying to keep my energy up for certain things or help with my recovery. Like supplements are, I'm a big supplement junkie.
Yeah.
I always have been.
Yeah. I never really enjoyed pills, but it just, when I was having panic attacks, that's when the best way I ever heard of it is because she was like, Ray, if I really want to stress you out, I'm going to tell you to not do anything.
Yeah.
And she said, we got to give you supplements, and this is not to take away, but this is to help you do the things that you want to do at the level that you want to do it. And that was the best way I ever heard it, because beforehand, like I didn't really even know what supplements meant. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, people get more freaked out about, I feel like, the pill itself.
Yes.
Where like, to me, for instance, I went to the doctors, I don't know, a couple years ago for, I think it was right after my dad passed away, for anxiety. What does the doctor do? Gives me anxiety medication.
Yeah.
But he doesn't tell me anything that happens with the side effect of the anxiety medication.
Oh,
like
shoot.
Gaining weight.
Okay.
That causes other issues.
That causes
you to come back to get another stupid drug.
Gotcha.
So supplements to me are things that your body can either already make or need more of, or like you want to be really, really good at something. So what are you going to go do? You're going to go educate yourself on it. Right. It's the same thing for like a supplement. Like I need my body to be able to help me lift heavier weight, so I'm going to take creatine.
Yes.
Like it's resources for your body.
Yes.
And that's how I look at supplements. It's like, what resources do I need to get really good at something or something that I'm trying to focus on right now? Supplements are my resources. But then there's a whole other thing too. Like you have to make sure you're getting good supplements. Like there's a lot of shit, and you can't go to Walgreens and go get a supplement and be like, this is good shit.
Yeah. Or Dollar Tree.
Yeah,
I said, shit, they gave me three cards for $1.
I got the pregnancy test at the dollar store.
Yeah. So we good.
Your resources, just like when you go to somebody for advice, like you can go to somebody that actually knows what they're talking about and is a reliable source, or you can go to somebody that just like, oh, they asked me this question, I'm gonna hurry up and Google it, and then they're just gonna read you your Google response. Like,
yeah.
It's the same thing with supplements. Like, you wanna go to a good source.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's super important too.
Well, I mean, especially with you bombarded with information, so we don't even know what information is true or false, and everything say the same thing. Yeah. This is the best thing. If you want fucking biceps tomorrow,
yeah.
Take this. Three steps.
This ab machine is going to get your 12-pack tomorrow. Or this 28-day workout. My favorite one's like somebody that's like 500 pounds, and they're like, do this 28-day workout, and they've lost like 300 pounds. I'm like, this is not a thing.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Well, right across.
Anything great takes really hard work.
It takes so fucking long. Like, it's a place that's across the street that's like 20-minute fitness. And they advertise, like, you just do 20 minutes mm-hmm. one time a week.
Mm-hmm. One?
One time a week.
And I thought you meant 20 minutes a day.
No, that's okay. But like 20 minutes one time a week. It was like next door to Keys. And I remember seeing this, and I was like, and I remember actually having a client when I was over there for a while. And they was like, shit, I'm in the wrong place. I said, well, go over there. You're not allowed to come back over here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when you don't work out every day, I feel like you get lethargic, and you also feel like it becomes part of your schedule.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't have to be working out, but what is something that makes you feel really good every day that's good for you?
Yes. And I always tell people all the time, is like, this is probably the only thing that you can do that you guarantee to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because when I'm talking to people, I always, because I'm passionate as you, and I just always think that, like, I really want this for this person. But having a kid, I don't want it that bad for you. You got to at least meet me halfway, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, that's why I admire the way that you train. People that's already, like, the people that say, tomorrow, I'm good. Those are people that, like, having a kid and giving my energy to so many things, those are the people that, like, I would want to train.
Yeah, like, you want to find somebody that respects your time.
And, yes.
Like, I never really realized how important time was until... becoming a parent, but then just having things kind of like slip out of my hand. I'm like, damn, life goes by really fast. Like, I'm going to be 30 next year and I want to throw up over that. You're going to be 40 in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
it's just,
you play too much.
It's just,
I'm 30 fucking five. That's 5 years.
You're halfway to fucking 70.
No, we're not doing that.
35 to 35.
No. This is done. Thank y'all, everybody. No, I got two more questions. Number one, what is your next big goal?
My big overall goal is to get, obviously, my pro card for competing, but, like, I don't feel like I can do that until I'm 35, because the girls that compete now are on hardcore drugs, and I feel like last time I was on, like, SARMs and stuff, I got my thyroid disease that I have to kind of pay for now, so I feel like that's, like, a really big personal goal for me. A family goal, I feel like, would be, Scott and I are trying to start our own, like, Poke Bowl restaurant, which I think would be fun, and then, like, Cooper goal is just, like, keep educating myself on how to be a good parent.
Gotcha.
Like, I feel like that's, like, super important.
Yeah. Well, like, so how about, what would you say, like, is the difference between, like, coaching, like, what would you talk, I'm going to digress, because I make the last question after this. What has been the biggest growth in you and Scotty's relationship since Cooper was born?
Communication. I feel like I am not a good communicator. I'll sit there and walk around with an attitude all day, and I just expect him to know what's wrong with me. And I feel like now communicating, like, my wants and my needs, like, hey, I need you to take this feed. I need, like, 20 minutes to myself.
Gotcha.
Like, before I'd be like, I can do everything.
Yep, gotcha.
Watch me. Like, that's just something, like, hey, I want people to be like, wow, she can do it all. I'm not afraid to ask for help when it comes to Cooper. I'm afraid to ask for help for myself, but I'm not afraid to ask for help when it comes to my child.
And
I feel like before Scott and I's communication, like, he's really good at communicating, but I'm just kind of like, I don't need to tell him that. I'm like, like, I'll just wait till, like, I would wait for the perfect time. Well, there's never a perfect time.
A perfect time.
I feel like being a parent has, like, gifted me on having the skills to communicate with my husband more, our au pair more, our parents, and, like, kind of creating boundaries that, like, I never would create before.
Solid. All right, last question is my favorite question. When it's all said and done, all right, and all said and done, you in a Louis Vuitton casket. and it's pink, by the way. But no, you got all of these people around you and somebody speaking on your behalf. What is something that you would wish that people would know about you or say about you with the impact that you're leaving on the world while you was here?
That I really care about somebody and I would like do anything for anybody. Like I was raised with like a good family, but I wasn't raised with the family like values and morals that like I want for my family. Like I wish I was closer with my brother. I wish I was closer with my sister. And I think that's why I thrive so much to have relationships with my friends is because they give me the security of family that I didn't have. I cared a lot about people. Like I would do anything for them. And like, there's not a lot of people. I have a lot of people in my life that I could call and be like, hey, I need you for this. Or like if I'm stuck down on the side of the road, like there's a handful of people I would call that I would like know would do that for me. But like, I feel like I've had to work towards that relationship with them. It's not just like given because when you first meet me, it's like,
Same
thing with Scotty too. I mean, a lot of people like the Scott I know is a different Scott than what people see when we're out and about together.
Yeah, for sure.
Same thing with like you and Jillian. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know your spouse better than anyone else, and it's just like people. I don't know. They just. I want to send the energy to people to like make this year to like focus on getting to know people better, because every person is good inside, no matter what.
Yeah.
They just go through bad times, and like. You never know how many people really like need that good person in their life. And I feel like, I don't know, we'd have a lot more like better relationships in the world rather than competing. Damn. And I feel like social media really, really, really messes that up for people. There's kids wanting to look like 35-year-olds, but that 35-year-old has gotten this much work done, is crying behind the screen because they didn't get 700 likes. Like, I post shit all the time, but like, I don't really care about how many people like my stuff. I think of my Instagram as like a scrapbook that my mom used to spend 500 hours on. Yeah. Like, I love going back through my videos and like pictures. Yeah. I'm like, God, I was in such good shape. Or like, God, I was in such crappy shape. Yeah. Or Scott and I were so happy at this like moment. Yeah. Or like, stuff with Cooper. Like, it's like a scrapbook to me. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know.
No, that's dope. I might change the title of this. That was probably the best line I ever heard you say. You said like, you know, everybody is good inside. They just go through hard shit.
Yeah.
Hard times.
I mean, when you're a baby, you're innocent. You have nothing bad on you. That's why everyone loves babies.
Yeah.
But as you grow, people start having judgment on you, and you start having judgment on other people, and you start getting these negative things that come in and out of you all the time. Yeah. So it's like, go back to that childhood good feeling of like, you love everyone. You speak what's on your mind. You're happy. Like, a lot of people don't do that anymore. And like, I'm guilty for it too. Like, it's just, bring in that inner child.
Yeah.
And I feel like being a parent does that more.
Yeah.
1,000%. You know, like not caring so much what other people think of you, like just being in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at my dad's funeral, I'm Catholic, so we did like the open casket and stuff, which was terrible. But like for his burial, we got him cremated and we put him in this, like, first off, the guy had a funeral for a year. We did his ashes at the beach for his birthday.
Yeah.
But then for his 1 year, we put his ashes in this like huge granite rock that one of his friends made and dug a hole in this rock, put his ashes in it, and then put a plate over the top of a picture of him. And it's buried at one of his favorite fishing spots. So you can go out to Lake St. Clair right now and look in the water and see the rock. My dad's ashes are in there.
Oh, shit.
And like, I think that's pretty dope.
That's
like,
dope as hell.
The amount of people that were at my dad's funeral was like insane.
Yeah.
He had his bass boat outside, so people are shotgunning beers outside when they needed a break. Like, Scott and I looked at each other like, when we go, like, we want something like this.
Yes.
Like, we want the happy times. We want people to remember us for, like, all the funny things that we did, the things that we inspired them by. Like, I don't know. I love scaring people. It's, like, one of my favorite things in the world do. And, like, I feel like a lot of people have stories of, like, me trying to scare them. But I promised my husband I wouldn't do that to our child. And, like, I promised my husband I wouldn't do that to him because he's somebody that doesn't like to be scared. But, like, I don't know.
Or to his boy again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't going to
If he
ain't
does
go
that, I can't control it. Like, I'm not going to teach him my ways. But, like, if he does it on his own, like, I don't know what to tell him.
I'm not going to do that to you. But just know. When you tried to scare me, I almost literally died. And that was probably the only time on earth where,
but
like,
I think we're laughing about it now.
Like, yeah, look at I ain't talked to you for like 4 days. Like, you
Mama
was calling
was
green,
even
green,
mad at me.
Green. Hey, Ray, you good? No, but I went cold. No text message back. You calling me green, green, green.
That's when
and
I was really
I'm making
anxiety.
Sure. I'm making sure. So, I just want to say personally, thank you for getting me back into the groove of this, because they says the top 1% in the world, like, do you know that's that, the top 1% of podcasters?
Mm-mm.
So, like, if you had to guess, the top 1% of podcasters of all time, how many podcasts do you think they create, the top 1%?
Like, how many podcasts have they ever done?
Yeah, the top 1%. Not the top, like, in order to be a part of the top 1%, how many podcasts do you have to create?
5,000?
21,000?
21. How many podcasts do you think Joe Rogan's at? He's at like 20,
yeah,
30.
But I said 21, like 19, 20, 21.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. Oh. And that's why, like, I quit like 7 times. I'm like at 12. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like... Like
I think the last one on there is it was December or something, but I'm pretty sure it's like number 14, isn't
it? That's what I'm saying. I quit 4 times. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, so that's why when you had messaged me that I was like so excited and so happy that you did that, because it was like in order to be a top 1% podcaster, you only gotta make 21. Most people quit.
Yeah, so your last one on there was No, that's 2020. Okay. I thought it was December. November 13th.
I know.
And it doesn't say which number it was because you have all these other weird things.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you were numbering. That's another thing you're really bad at is like flow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so March 18th, 2021 was number 18. But then you have 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. So you have like 28. So this is like 29.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. But you just stopped labeling them.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So like you need to go back to those and label them, because you don't label them and like your flow is off.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
And then you got to go back and count. So see, yeah, you're on like, you're almost at 30. So you're past the 21. So you're almost great.
But I started in like 2020. I started 4 years ago.
Yeah, but if you set two goals for 2 a week, you're gonna at least get 1 a week.
No, I'm.
And how many weeks are in a year?
A lot, 52.
Okay, yeah, that's 52 this year. You're gonna get.
I know. I just like I'm gonna drop one. So like when you had texted me randomly, and then I was like, all right, cool. So now every Monday, every Wednesday, I'm gonna create them. Every Friday, every Sunday, I'll probably put it out, cause it's easy to just wake up on Sunday morning and just put it out. Cause a lot of times, I was just trying to figure out what times do I need to do in order to be efficient at it. I can't add something else to an already busy day. Sunday is the most relaxed.
Yeah.
So if I get them done Monday and Wednesday, I can drop them first thing
Scott
in the
works,
morning.
Because nobody's calling him and bugging him. So yeah. Like Sunday's the only day. It's like you can have family time, do all this other stuff. Yeah. But like when baby sleeps, it's like this is the only time you can actually like not be bothered.
Yes. And that's
nobody's going to call you on Sunday to go like, hey, man, can you come train me today?
No.
Somebody asked me to do a facial on the Sunday the other day and I didn't even text him back. I'm like... Yeah. Do you not respect my time?
No. But I just realized people don't also understand.
They don't.
Like, because, like, we do stuff that's, like, fun, quote mm-hmm. unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still work. It's still work, and people don't understand that. So I appreciate you for holding me accountable to doing this. And I promise you that this is the start of 52 this year.
It better be.
52 this year. So
otherwise, the next one will be talking shit.
No, I know. I know. So
we'll actually bring our spouses in here and have
actually, what we're going to do, actually, just to make sure that I'm on point, we're going to do another one in June around your birthday.
Okay.
All right.
That's less than 2 months.
I know.
Okay. Oh,
it is May. No.
It's April, what, 8th today? My birthday is June 3rd.
All right, perfect. All right, we're doing
it in 60 days.
We're doing it another one in June. And then by then, that means I should have, like, it should be one every week.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Or the whole thing can be about you bashing me. All right. So, all right, well, I love you. I appreciate you. And this is Road to 52. Stop playing with your boy.